I'm going to get this morning into our message, which is entitled Following the Master Fisherman. Following the Master Fisherman. And very simple message this morning, but with a very profound and the most important message of all for believers, and that's following the Master Fisherman. The most important message this morning, if you don't know Jesus, is that you need a Savior, that He came and lived a perfect life, sacrificed Himself on a cross, took His life up again, and rose from the dead to give you everlasting life. But for those who know Him, we have an obligation to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have an obligation to be a fisher of men. And so we're going to read our passage first this morning, starting in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From the time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting their nets into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." Let's pray. Father, as we enter this time of preaching this morning, we ask that you would touch our hearts by your word. We pray that you would convict us, that you would encourage us, that you would motivate us. Lord, whatever it is that you know each and every person in this room need this morning, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move and that you would draw us closer to you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for all that he means to us for eternity. He is our everything. We ask, Father, that we would follow his example in loving and caring for and reaching the souls of men. In Jesus' name, amen. So our key verse we're going to focus on, we're going to look at others this morning, but is in verse 19 of what we just read. "And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So Jesus was brought up in the home of a carpenter, yet he was also a master fisherman. But he was not the master fisherman in the way that we think, although he was good at that too. In fact, he caused the nets to become so full at one time, the ship was about to sink. But the fish that he's talking here is being fishers of men, going out and looking for men. He certainly knew how to fish in the sense that we understand it in fishing for those creatures that many of us like to eat. But he told the disciples to cast their nets, plural, their nets, cast their nets aside. They needed more than one net. So when they had fished all night and they caught nothing, Jesus then told them to cast on the other side, and that's when they caught all those fish. But whenever they did what Jesus told them to do, they caught fish. Jesus said, "I'm going to make you fishers of men." When he told them what to do in the physical sense of catching literal fish, if they obeyed him, they caught more fish than they could handle almost. When he told them, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men," they became mighty witnesses and influences for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and many came to know Jesus through their ministry throughout the course of their lives. When God tells us, when Jesus tells us to do something, he'll equip us to do it. He'll give us the power and the ability to do it, and he will be with us in doing it and prepare us for it. So the question this morning is, are you catching fish? Are we catching fish? How about your personal life? How about in our church family, in our church life? We need to get more active, don't we, on catching fish. And I'm not talking about regular fish, though maybe a fish fry someday is not a bad idea. Somebody might want to write that down. But I'm talking about fishing for men this morning. Are you fishing for men? Are you giving the gospel of Jesus out to people? Are you handing tracts out? Are you giving God glory? Are you talking about him and sharing your story? But if we're not, then we're not following the master fisherman. And the master fisherman, of course, we understand is Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to urge you today to follow him. I want to urge you, if you haven't given your heart and life to him, to give your life to him and become a follower of Jesus today, to become saved, to give your life to him. And if you have done that, I want to urge us this morning to follow his example. Number one this morning, following the master fisherman is a call. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are called, and being and following the master fisherman and being a fisher of men is a call. It's a call, first of all, to the saved. It's a call to the saved. So, all saved, by the way, all, and everybody understands what that word means. You've heard it a million times, right? All means all, right? All means all. Everybody is called, if you are saved, to be a fisherman. So, lost people are not called, by the way, they're not called of God to come to church. We want them to come to church. We're thrilled when they come to church. But they're not called to come to church, but we are called to go out into the world and preach the gospel and to compel them to come in. That's our call. That's our calling. So fish are not ordered to go find fishermen. Well, wouldn't that be easy? Right? No, the fisherman has to go out and catch the fish. And so we as believers, we should be spreading our nets everywhere we go. We should be leaving gospel tracts. We should be talking about the Savior. We should be talking about what He's done in our life. We should be talking about His goodness. We should be asking people to come to church. We should be heavily involved in fishing for men. Doesn't mean everybody you talk to is going to make a profession of faith and get saved. That's not what Jesus said. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Once they get saved, we're going to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And then we're going to train them to go and do likewise by God's grace. But the fact of the matter is, they're not called to come to us. We're called to go to them. It's a call to the saved. It's a call also of simplicity. Simply follow me. What is the greatest method you can use in many areas of child rearing? Set an example. You see, it's far too many people, they want to raise children with the philosophy of do as I say, not as I do. That doesn't work. It might work in a forced measure for a period of time, but the day is going to come when they're going to make their own decisions, and when they do, they're going to make decisions based on what you did, not what you said. And so we have to be active in the simple act of following Jesus. You know, the cliche, the phrase, what would Jesus do, has been run into the ground to the point that it's almost dismissed anymore. But the fact is, we need to ask ourselves in our actions, in our words, and what we're doing in our personal lives and in our society and in culture, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus handle this? What would I do if I followed him? Many times the words that we speak are not words that Jesus would speak. Many times the actions that we take are not actions that he would take. Many times the feelings and the things that we harbor in our heart are not what he would do. Bitterness is not the way of Christ. Anger is not the way of Christ. Now, he was angry at sin and wickedness, righteous indignation. But toward people, he had a heart of love and a heart of compassion. His words, when his words were harsh, you know who it was to? False prophets, false teachers, apostates, those who were leading people astray in the name of God. When he dealt with the sinner, it was love and compassion. Remember the woman at the well? Remember the woman taken in adultery? Remember Zacchaeus? And on and on and on we could go. Even when he was calling his disciples. Love and compassion, our words. It's a call of simplicity to follow him. All we have to do is follow the master fisherman and he'll do the rest. All we have to do is tell the story, share the gospel. He does the rest. I don't have to save anybody. I can't save anybody. If that was my burden, It would be impossible because nobody can come except they're drawn to the Father. But he just said, follow me, do what I do. So it's simplicity. Any child of God can learn to present the gospel. And by the way, if you're too busy to learn to drop or to give the gospel, to share the gospel, you need to drop your business and take up God's business. If you're too busy, and the fact of the matter is most of us are not too busy for anything we really want to do. That's just reality. Every one of us, from the pulpit to the last pew, that's true. We do what we want to do. We make time for what's important to us. And that's how life goes. How important is the gospel of Jesus Christ to you? When is the last time you handed out a tract? When is the last time you shared your story? When is the last time you just asked somebody, would you join me in church? Listen, I don't know if you have a church home, but I'd love for you to just come and visit our church and meet our church family. It's simplicity. It's also a call of surrender. It's a call of surrender. The Lord didn't make them become soul winners, by the way. They surrendered to follow Him. He doesn't ever make us do anything. That's the free will that He gave us. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He didn't say, drop everything, you're coming with me. It was an invitation. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Do you want that? Do you want to come with me? Do you want to see what I can do in the world? Do you want to be part of what God's doing? Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. It's simplicity and it's surrender. It was them saying, I will drop everything to focus on the main thing. Any child of God can be used of God this way if we surrender our hearts. The only reason that some Christians don't witness and don't testify and don't give out the gospel is that they're not willing to surrender many times to our pride and to our own efforts and our time and our energy and our hearts. They all need to be surrendered to Him. It all belongs to Him. It's all a gift from Him. And if we're willing to surrender those things, people say, well, I'm too busy. I'm glad He wasn't too busy to go to the cross. I'm glad He wasn't too busy to leave the glories of heaven and humble Himself to become flesh and blood. I'm glad He wasn't too busy to live a perfect life here and suffer all the affliction that He suffered and die a horrible death so I could live. I'm too busy. If we're too busy, we need to work on our schedule. Everybody's busy. We have a household of 7 kids. We know what busy is, okay? All of us are busy. We all have different things going on. We're all at different stages in life. And no matter where we are in life, life is busy. And the more that we allow to come into our lives and the more we pile it on and pile it on and pile it on, then we're miserable half the time because we have so many things going on and so many commitments that we can't even tell up from down, day from night. What day of the week is it? Because we get all of these things in life. Sometimes we need to learn to say no to some things in our life. Sometimes we need to remove certain things from our life, but we always need to put Jesus at the top of the list and surrender to Him. So it's a call. It's a call to the saved. It's a call of simplicity and surrender. It's a call from the Savior. And by His stead, we are reconciled to God. We should be willing to surrender that call. It's a call from the Spirit of God who reproves sinners and reveals a Savior to them. It's a call from the Scriptures where God reveals to us and tells us that we can take a stand and be bold in our faith and that we're not to be ashamed of the Lord. So will you obey the call of the master fisherman? Reminded me of the old song, there's a call comes ringing over the restless waves, send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Or that old song, send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Following the master fisherman is a call. Number two, it is not only a call, it's a command. Following the master fisherman is a command. John 15:14 says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now again, we don't have to. But if we're to call ourselves His friend, and if we're truly going to call Him Lord, and if we're truly going to walk with Him and please Him, we're going to obey His command. In the same chapter, Jesus said to His disciples in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified. This is what He's glorified in, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. How is God glorified? When we bear fruit, when we reproduce, when we give the gospel, when people get saved, when we disciple people, when we share the love of Jesus, that's glorifying God. People say, well, I just want to glorify God. I just want to give God praise. One of the greatest ways you can do that is give the gospel message of Jesus Christ and bear fruit. That will glorify God. So the call to follow a master fisherman is a command. It's not a suggestion. It is not a suggestion. It's not just a good idea. It's a command. The call to follow the master fisherman is not, by the way, a spiritual gift. There are many spiritual gifts. And on our midweek, we went through a spiritual gifts program. And some of you learned what your spiritual gifts are. Some of you learned what spiritual gifts are not. But the fact of the matter is, giving the gospel of Jesus Christ is not a spiritual gift. Well, I just can't tell anybody about about the Lord. I can't witness, give my testimony. That's just not my gift. It's not a spiritual gift. It is a command to all who are saved. It is the duty of every single believer. It's a command. Jesus said that when the Holy Ghost came, the disciples would receive power and that they would be witnesses. All of them. All of them who receive the Holy Spirit. When we receive the Holy Spirit of God at salvation, we have power to become witnesses because we don't have to do it in our own power. We don't have to do it in our own strength. Not everybody's called to be a pastor, to be a Sunday school teacher, to be an evangelist or a missionary, but we're all called to be evangelists in our own world, in our own circle of influence, in our own personal lives. Some Christians may be gifted in a lot of different ways, but every Christian is to be a fisher of men, every believer. And so the Holy Ghost came on Pentecost, and when you got saved, you got the Holy Ghost. You have the power to be a witness. Also, the call to follow the master fisherman is not for a select few. It's not a suggestion. It's not a spiritual gift. It's not for a select few. Everyone who is saved are called. So the person who leads the congregation, whether we lead the congregation in singing, or whether we lead in preaching, or whether we lead a Sunday school class, or whether we just lead our family, we're called to be a fisherman. So following the master fisherman is a command. Number three, it is a change. Following the master fisherman is a change. Verse 19 in our text, and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. If you follow the master fisherman, he'll make you. He'll make you a fisher of men. This doesn't mean he's going to force you in that sense. It means he will transform you into a fisher of men. If you're willing to follow and obey that command, he will make a change in your life. I know some preachers, maybe you've met preachers before, and they've given their testimony, and they tell you that when they were called to preach, they were terrified almost to talk to their reflection in the mirror. They could not stand being in front of people. It terrified them. Some of the most powerful preachers I've ever known are people who have that testimony. And they say, I was terrified to even talk to my family in the same room in a crowd. But God has now used them to preach to people all across the country and around the world and be a great influence for Christ. What is that? They decided to follow the call, and Jesus made them what he desired them to be. He did the change. It's not about what I can do. It's about what he can do through us. He'll transform you. And when we say, well, I'm not able to do what you're talking about, well, it's okay. You don't have to do it. If we surrender ourselves to him and we obey his command, he'll change us from the inside out. It's a change from slothfulness to service. Matthew 9:37 in the Word of God says, he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And I think we're certainly in a time in history where the laborers are as few as they have ever been, certainly in any modern times. There are fewer and fewer and fewer people who come to the churches. There are fewer and fewer people who are willing to take a stand for what is right. And we see this in the fact that our world is becoming what it is. Why is our world becoming more and more and more wicked? Why are we losing more and more of our fundamental God-given rights? Why are we losing what we're losing? Because God's people have not taken a stand and have not given the gospel and have not been fishers of men. Because when people are getting saved and people are being added to the body of Christ, that influence will change the culture for God. And so we see the opposite effect. I'm not a fatalist who believes that it can never change. I believe Jesus is coming anytime. And I say with the Apostle John, even so come, Lord Jesus. But I also know that God is God and he does whatever God wants to do. And should God desire to send a revival to this world or to this country again, it is as easy for him to do it as it is for me to snap my fingers. Because he's God. But what does it take if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way? Then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. We have to be willing to go be the fishermen. He'll bring the fish. We just have to be willing to go fishing. It's a change from slothfulness to service. It's a change from selfishness to sacrifice. You know, Christians will spend hours studying in the schools of this world and spending money and doing all kinds of things to gain knowledge, but not willing to spend a few minutes every single day to learn from God's Word, to spend time in prayer, to grow in their relationship with Jesus. So we need to look at inward and say, am I being self-centered? Am I being self-focused? And we need to turn our gaze to Christ, start following Jesus. It's a change from shamefulness to speaking up. Don't be ashamed. Romans 10, verse 11 says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't speak up for the Lord because of fear or because of shame? If we're all honest with ourselves, we've all had those moments. By God's grace, we should not be ashamed to speak truth, to speak the love of Jesus, to stand for what is right. And the flood of wickedness, everybody wants to stand back and say, man, the world's getting awful bad. It's getting wicked out there. Boy, it's getting dangerous out there. Boy, things are really going down the drain. It's easy for us to be an observer that way. Armchair quarterback, they might call it, right? Hindsight's 20/20, all those things. We need to get involved. Do you want it to change? Start making a change right in your world. And if everybody who follows Christ would start making a change and making a stand and spreading the gospel right in their circle of influence, right in their world, that God will take that. Remember, just recently I was talking with Brother Jim, and he brought this point up, and it's very, very, very valid. All of this started with 12 men following Jesus. 12 people following Jesus. So we say, well, it's too far gone. When Jesus came, He was the only influence. And He went and got 12 men and said, follow Me. I'll make you fishers of men. And out of those 12 men, Jesus established His church, and He grew His church. And where are we today with millions of believers all around the world? It started with 12 men who said, I'll follow Jesus. I'll do what Jesus says. I'll go with Him. I'll stand with Him. I'm willing to take a stand. I'm willing even to go to death for my Savior, for my Redeemer. It's a change from selfishness to sacrifice, from shamefulness to speaking up. It's a change from sitting on the shore to showing your fish. Amen. Most of God's people, sadly, are not fishing. And I can say that confidently because we look at our culture. We look at our world. Most of us are sitting on the bank. Most of God's people, sadly, many, many people I've talked to through the years have not in their lifetime led one person to Jesus. It's a sad commentary. Boy, it's such a joyful thing. You will never know the joy of what it is to see someone come to Jesus until you do that. It's an amazing thing. We've got to get busy and change. Number four, following the master fisherman is a choice. Verse 20 of our text in Matthew 4 says, and straightway they left their nets and followed Him. When did they do it? Straightway. Right away. Immediately, they chose to follow Him. It's a choice to be fruitful. The first thing that God said to a living creature in Genesis 1:22 was, be fruitful. Be fruitful. The first thing that God said to man in Genesis 1, be fruitful. In verse 28 of Genesis 1. The very first thing God told Noah after the flood, and after bringing everyone and everything out of the ark, He said, be fruitful. In fact, He told him that three times in Genesis 8, verse 17, and Genesis 9, verses 1 and verse 7. Be fruitful. It's a choice to be fruitful. It's a choice also to be faithful. In our verse 19 of our text, it said, follow Me and I will make you. Follow Me and I will make you fisher of men. But how do you do it? Follow Him. Being faithful. Being in God's Word. Being in prayer. Being faithful to church. Getting involved in activities of the church. Loving God, loving people, be fruitful by being faithful. It's also a choice to be a fisherman. You're not going to catch fish until you choose to go. I can't expect to catch fish if I don't go somewhere with my rod and reel and some lures or some bait and throw it in the water. Well, I'd love to have some fresh fish. I wonder when it's going to show up. Right? Doesn't work that way. got to go do it. It's a choice to be a fisherman. You're not going to be a soul winner unless you choose it. And so I just want to encourage you, follow Jesus. Follow Jesus with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Follow Him. Be willing to put everything else aside to follow Him. Then God begins to do miraculous things in spite of us and through us and with us because we're willing to just say, I'll follow the call. I'll follow your command. I will become what you want me to become and being changed, and I'm going to make a choice to follow you, to be faithful. So Christian, will you follow Jesus and let Him make you a fisher of men? That's the question this morning. Will you actively become a fisher of men? He'll give you the ability, the boldness, the tools. We just have to be willing to right away follow Him. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Father, we thank You for the example of Your Son Jesus and how that He taught us what to do. He said, follow Me. And as we follow Him and as we follow His example and as we do what He did, we, like Him, can draw people to an understanding of who He is. The Word of God tells us if we lift up Jesus, people will be drawn to Him. So may we, in our lifestyle, in our interaction with people, in everything that we do, show the difference, the change, the importance of being a Christ follower, and that it matters to us, and that souls matter to us. So, Father, we ask that You would bless this invitation time in Jesus' name. Amen.